make sure this thing's on. I don't know if it is or not. Sound all right? Not mumbly? I don't know where to put this thing. I know Pastor Tim knows, but I don't, so make sure I'm not mumbling or anything. But what is it? How about now? Changing? Good? No? Like it? It's all right. All right. But what a blessing to be here this morning. And I love that second song we sing. It said, "Let God's glory fill the earth." I don't know if any of you saw the rainbows last night. That sounded like it got a little better. They get louder. But the rainbows last night, I was at the shooting complex fishing, trying not to get struck by lightning. But at the end there, the rainbows popped out. There was a double rainbow, and I don't know if any of you got to see that, but God's glory filled the earth on that, and it was a blessing to see that. So that was awesome to see, and I hope others got to see that as well. But this morning, we're going to talk about a word. You're not going to find this word a whole lot in the Bible, just mentioned in itself, but you're going to find this word mostly in the character of men and people you see in the Bible that God uses. And so, like I said, you're not going to find this word in the Bible mentioned a whole lot. You will here and there. It's mentioned in Genesis when Joseph was speaking to his brothers. But the word I'm looking for this morning is honesty. Honesty. So, not a lot of that going on in today's world. We don't see a lot of that word anymore. And it's hard to look out at the world and say there's a lot of honest people anymore. So, we see that in our government. Real simple to see that in our politicians. A lot of liars, a lot of deceivers. There's still some truth in there. And it's a blessing that there is some that do stand on the truth. And but it's a word not seen too often anymore and spoken about very often. And just a couple synonyms. I like a little bit of synonyms here and there to get you thinking about some other words that relate to it. Truthfulness, integrity, straightforwardness. Those are all words that kind of build off of honesty, fairness. You know, there's, again, honesty. If you're speaking in an honest way, you're going to speak the truth. That's what comes out of honesty. It's speaking the truth. It's adhering to a fact is the definition of it. Adhering to a fact. So you're going to speak a fact. You're speaking the truth. And you're going to be straightforward. And you're going to be fair about it. So in the Bible, we see, well, our Bible is the truth. That's what we believe. It is the truth. It is our foundation. It's our chief cornerstone. And we find that as our truth. And this is the truth that we ought to be speaking. And as a Christian, this word ought to be working in us. It should be in our character. Again, I said we're going to find this more in the character of men. Not really mentioned a whole lot, but you're going to find it a lot in the character. And the first one I think of is Nathan, when he was speaking to David. So what happened? Nathan came to David. He had a vision. God gave Nathan a vision and said, "Go to David and talk to David about a rich man." A rich man and a poor man. And that rich man had a flock, a healthy flock of lambs and sheep, and a poor man had one lamb. The poor man owned one lamb, and he loved that lamb, and he took care of that lamb, and that was his whole world around that one lamb. And Nathan said, that rich man said he was going to have a gathering. This is all in 2 Samuel 12, if you want to find this, but that rich man wanted to have a gathering. And when that gathering came, he said, "Okay, I'm going to kill a lamb. I'm going to kill a lamb that I can feed these people." Instead of taking his lamb out of his flock, he decides to take the lamb of the poor man. That poor man, that was his world. His life revolved around that lamb, and he took that lamb. That rich man took that lamb and killed that lamb for his gathering. And David told Nathan, he said, "Well, that man ought to die. That rich man ought to die. And he should restore fourfold what he did to that poor man." Now Nathan, as you're going to find in his character, Nathan goes, "David, I'm looking at you. I'm pointing to you. You're the rich man. What did you do to Uriah? You killed him. You sent him to the front lines. And you killed him off that way you could take his wife." So Nathan didn't hold back, didn't lie. He told the king, King David, the truth. He told him the fact. He pointed out the truth, and he was honest about it. So Nathan, a great example of that, it's built into Nathan's character, and God used Nathan through that. Another one I think of that we just went over on Sunday nights is Stephen. I love this. I love Stephen. It's an awesome story. We just went over that on Sunday night. And if you're not here on Sunday nights, I encourage you to come. It's a blessing. But we just went over Stephen's death. But what did Stephen do before he died? He stood in front of a council of men. I think there was over 77 men, powerful men, all religious leaders. And Stephen stood right in the middle of them, right in the middle. And Stephen said, I'm going to tell you the facts. And I'm going to tell you the truth that you all are trying to run from. What did Stephen start with? He started with the history of Israel, where Israel even came from, the foundation of Israel. And he started with that, and he said, now, what you guys do with the prophets, you kill them all. Their blood is on your hands. You kill all the prophets that come to you and bring the truth because you guys don't want to hear it. But Stephen stood right there in the middle of them, called them out. He even got to the point where he called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised at heart. Now, you stand in front of a group of men, powerful men, and you call them stiff-necked and uncircumcised at heart, you're going to get some hate. But Stephen didn't hold back the truth. Stephen spoke the facts. And you know how he spoke the facts? Is because those men became angry. Those men became angry. They got to the point so angry, they took him out. They drug him out of the city and they killed him. They stoned him. But Stephen was glowing. His face was glowing with God's glory. And what did he do right before he died? He looked up, and Jesus was standing on the right hand of God, standing at his throne, standing for Stephen, for giving his life for the truth, speaking the facts. It's in Stephen's character. He spoke the truth. He spoke the facts. He was honest. He didn't hold back. He was straightforward. And we see this in Jesus' ministry. Jesus is the greatest example of it. I think of the word integrity. Jesus lived what he spoke. He said, I do the Father's will. I do the Father's will. I'm here to fill the Father's will. And that's what he did. The Father's will was he was going to come. He was going to bring not peace, but he brought the sword. He brought the sword. And we see this. I do want to turn here. This will be the first place we turn. Again, you're not going to find this word used a whole lot in the Bible, so I'm not turning to a specific passage. We're just going to be kind of bouncing all over the place here. But the first one I want to go to is John 8, 39 through 47. And this just speaks on Jesus' ministry, and it speaks on the honesty and the truthfulness and the fact of what Jesus brought out amongst these religious leaders is who he was speaking to at this time. And this is John 8, this is going to be 39 through 47, and I want to start here. Then answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And these again are the religious leaders. They're saying that Abraham's our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. There it is, the man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Again, that's God's will. God sent Jesus. Jesus is following the will of God. You sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. That's as honest as it gets right there, church. He called them straight out, right out in front of their faces. He called them as what they were. And they knew it. They knew that's what they were. And they got to the point where they tried to cover it up. They tried to cover it up. Why? Because they hung Jesus on the cross. They were so tired of the truth. They were so tired of the facts. They were so tired of their pride being brought down by Jesus. They got to the point where they hung him on the cross. They didn't want to hear him no more. They didn't want to hear the real truth. They didn't want the honesty of God. They didn't want the honesty of Jesus. And we see that in Jesus' ministry. It's in his character. It's in Jesus' character. He's honest. When has God ever lied to us, church? He never has. This all speaks the truth. All of it speaks the truth. God fulfills everything in this word. He does. And again, as I want to also point out a key fact here, is the devil is the father of lies. It's not of our God. It's not of Jesus. There will be no lying in them. No lying, no deceitfulness, no deceiving us. That's of the devil. That is of the devil. And that is we need to understand that, because if we've all lied, I know we've all lied in our lives. It's been a part of us. Every single one of us can say we've lied at one time, whether it's even a little white lie, they say. It's a little white lie. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. Well, it's bad. It's an abomination. And we're going to see that if you go to Exodus 20:16. I'm not going to turn there, but if you want to go there, that's a Ten Commandment. It says, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, that's speaking of a court. That would be like in a courtroom where you're on the witness stand, and you would be brought out and say, okay, here comes the person to come talk to you, and you're going to speak. You have to speak the truth. You're put on the stand to speak the truth, and you take the oath. I'm going to speak the truth and nothing but the truth. That is what the Ten Commandment is. It says, do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Do not lie, because when you're a child of God, you've taken an oath. You've taken an oath. You've been made new. You've been made righteous. There should be no lying of you. You should not be lying. You should be just speaking nothing but the truth. And it says, that's a Ten Commandment. Do not bear false witness. But I do want to turn to Proverbs just to build on this, just to build on lying, to show that lying is not good. It should never be a part of us. Go to Proverbs 12:22. I'll just quickly turn there and read that. Proverbs 12:22, just another verse to build on. Kind of chew on it and see that lying is not a good thing. And it says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. Amen. Lying is horrible. It's an abomination to the Lord. He doesn't want any part of it. He doesn't want any part of it. Why? Because it brings people out of the truth. It shows them a false hope. It doesn't bring the real hope to them. It doesn't show them the truth. It's not speaking the facts. Lying is never a good thing. It doesn't matter if it's just a little white lie and you think it's nothing. You think it's nothing. It's horrible. It's an abomination to the Lord. An abomination. But I do want to look at the word honesty a little deeper. We're going to go into honesty. We're going to see how we should use honesty, how honesty should be in us. Why we need honesty. We're going to see that this morning, but I wanted to make sure we see where it comes from. It comes from the character of these men. We see that in their character, and we see that lying is not of the truth. Lying is an abomination. So this morning, let's look at honesty. Let's look at honesty, and I want to first, we're going to look at three things here, but I first want to look at honesty as being honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Now, I'm going to turn to a scripture here, 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. So I'm going to say this, the first point here is being honest with yourself. Now, why is it important to be honest with yourself? Well, we're going to read that here in 2 Corinthians 13:5. And it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed are disqualified? So why would we need to examine ourselves? Because we need to see if we're in the faith. We need to see how we're walking, church. As a Christian, as someone who is saved, we need to take a moment every single day, really. Every single day we could say we could do this, is be honest with ourselves. It's because every single day I typically fall into sin. I fall into sin almost every single day. Every single day I fall into sin. And every single day I need to be honest with myself and look at myself. And that word examine means to literally step back, look at my life, look at the way I'm living, and say, okay, am I right or am I wrong? Am I in the faith or am I not in the faith? And I think of what I preached on not too long ago, a while back, was Galatians 5. That's walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. It's another chapter that just explains on challenging us. It challenges the believer to make sure, where are we walking? Are we walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh? Because as a believer, you ought to be walking in the Spirit. That should be what we do, because that's where honesty comes from. Honesty is in the Spirit. Lying is in the flesh. So you're either walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. Another one, are you light in the darkness or are you darkness itself? Are you light or are you dark? Because if we're called to be light in this world. But we have to take a second and look at ourselves and say, am I really the light? In my day-to-day walk, am I the light in the world or am I the darkness? There's a lot of darkness, church. There's a lot of darkness. There don't need to be any more darkness. There don't need to be any more darkness. We need to be the light that we're called to be. It's just another verse, and that's in 1 John 1, if you want to search that out. 1 John 1 is where you find the light in the darkness. But it's just another place that points out, what are we doing? It's just an examination. It's just to look at us. It's saying, hey, get honest. Where are you walking? Where are you walking? What are you doing? Are you living the way you should? And I think of as a sheep amongst the wolves. You know, in Matthew 10, Jesus said, I'm going to send you out as sheep amongst the wolves. But are you a wolf yourself? How can you be sent out as a sheep if you're the wolf yourself? What good is that? You're not going to be very good. You're not going to be very good because you're not the sheep. You're the wolf yourself. You're destroying the sheep. And that's what walking in the flesh does. That's what walking in the darkness does. That's what walking as a wolf does. You're the darkness. You're destroying. You're lying. So be honest with yourself as a Christian. Take a moment to look at your life. Examine yourself. I want to look at that word examine, and I just want to give you another scripture on that, just so you see that word twice, see the importance of it. It's 1 Corinthians 11:28. You're going to see it again, and this is whenever we take the Lord's Supper. This is just talking about the Lord's Supper. And what's it say? 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let a man examine himself. Let a man get honest with himself. Let a man take a look at his life and see where he's walking. It's just another verse explaining the importance of why it is important to look at our lives. Why is it important to look at our lives? Because we need to see how we're walking. Are we honest with ourselves, church? This morning, can you get honest with yourself? This is the time to do it, to be here worshiping the Lord. You know, you can't worship the Lord and praise the Lord correctly if you're not in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, why are you here this morning? Why are you here? Get right with the Lord. Now's the time to get right with the Lord. At this very moment, you can be honest with the Lord. At this very moment, you can be honest with yourself and say, I'm walking in the flesh. I need to get that fixed. I need to get that fixed. And this happens, and I want to look at the second point here. We looked at the first one, honest with yourself. But I do want to go into the second point quickly. Be honest with God is the second point. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Now, I want to look at this one too because it's going to build on the first one. Be honest with God and be honest with yourself. Now, we have to understand God is the one that brings us to the point of showing us our sin. God shows us our sin. That's what happened in salvation. That's what happens if you've been saved. God got to you, like he did to Zacchaeus in the tree. He came to him. Jesus came to him and said, hey, get out of the tree. We're going to have a talk. God did the same thing to you. He got to you. He came to you. He broke you. He worked in your heart. He was showing you the truth. He was showing that you're living in a lie, that the way you're walking is not the correct way. And I remember in my own, he was really showing me, I'm going to die and go to hell. He was striking fear in my heart, striking the fear of him in my heart, because I sat in this church for 19 years and I didn't care. I didn't care about it. I just came here to be here. I didn't care about the word. Yeah, I was in this world. Maybe I was a good person. Maybe I was a nice person, whatever, this and that. But to God, I was a sinner. To God, I was a sinner. And he was showing me that sin. He was revealing that. He was showing that, okay, Isaac, you're wrong. You're walking in sin and you're going to die and go to hell. Now, are you going to be honest with yourself? Are you going to take what I'm telling you and are you going to surrender to me? Are you going to give your life to me? Are you going to fall on your knees and you're going to give me praise and honor and glory? Or are you going to just continue on with your life? Because we see what happened to the Pharaoh in Genesis. He wouldn't give up the people of Israel. And God said, fine, I'll harden your heart. I've told you the truth, what, 7 times? Moses went to him and said, Pharaoh, let him go. Let him go. God says, let him go. What did Pharaoh do? No, I'm good. I'm fine. I'm not going to let him go. I'll just believe in my own ways. I'm going to hold him. I'll be fine. It's fine. The plagues come. Things happen. And eventually God says, fine, Pharaoh, have it your way. You want to walk in your own way? You don't want to get honest? You don't want to walk as you ought to walk? I'll harden your heart, and there's no going back. There's no going back. So this happens in our own life if you have salvation. If this has come to you, if the Lord's broke you and shown you your sin, this has happened. You've gotten honest with yourself, and God's showed you that. So being honest with yourself and being honest with God, it builds hand in hand because God has to reveal that to us, but it takes the man to be honest with himself. God can reveal it, and a man can deny it all he wants. A man can deny it. But to be a child of God, you need to be honest with yourself, and you need to get right with what God's showing you. So be honest with God. Now we be honest with ourselves. We see our sin. We see what's wrong with us. What do we do? What do we do? Well, we be honest with God. We come to the Lord. We ask Him for forgiveness. We ask Him to forgive us of our sins. Lord, I messed up. I see what I've done. You're showing me. I'm being honest with myself. I see it. I'm wrong. I'm not walking as I ought to walk. Now I'm going to be honest with you, Lord. I need forgiveness. I need you to rebuild me. I need you to walk with me. I need you to build me up in my righteousness and not in my sin, not in my flesh. To walk in the Spirit, Lord. That's where I want to be. I messed up. Forgive me. But I want us to understand, let's build on that truth that God will not lie to us. I just want to see that. We need to be honest with God. We need to be honest with God because God's not going to lie to us. We need to be honest because God's honest with us. God's honest with us, so let's be honest to Him. And I want to look at that. God's not going to lie to us. And He says that. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way and the truth. I'm the truth. I will not lie to you. I'm the truth. I'm the way. And is He proven that? He has. He has proven that. He died on the cross. He's proven He's the way. Man thinks there's other ways. Man wants to believe there's other ways because they don't want to believe He's the truth. Man doesn't want to deny themselves, take up their cross, and walk with Him. Jesus says, take up your cross, follow me. Deny yourself. Be honest with yourself. Deny yourself. I'm the truth. I'm the way. And we see this in Deuteronomy 32:4. It says, He is the rock. His work is perfect. This is speaking of God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are justice, a God of truth, and without injustice. Righteousness, or righteous and upright is He. A God of truth. He's the God of truth. He's not a God of lies. That's the devil. We've seen that. That's the devil. So understand, we have a God of truth. We have a God who's going to be honest with us. And He is. This word is honest to us, is it not? He proves the facts. He calls man a sinner. He says, man, you're going to die and go to hell. You need me. You need me. He points that truth out all through His words. And what a blessing it is. I want to look at Psalm 6 or Psalm 119, 160. We'll turn there. Psalm 119, 160. You can turn there if you feel like. But I want to look at this verse. Psalm 119, 160. I love David too, because David's another man who has an honest character. We look at honesty and we can look at David and say, this man is honest with himself. He gets right with the Lord. He's honest. I love reading Psalms. Psalm 119, 160. Let me get here. It's a big psalm. And it says, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. The entirety of your word is truth. Every single word in this Bible is the truth, church. We can believe it as the truth because it is the truth. It's happened in our lives, has it not? God's made sure that we understand this is the truth because He's proven it to us. These words have come alive in our life. If you have salvation, they've come alive in your life. They've come alive in you. You see the truth, and you cannot deny that it's the truth. So I want us to understand we have to be honest with God. Be honest with God. Why? Because He's honest with us. He speaks the truth to us. So let's be honest with Him and get right with Him. So understand, God does not lie to us. God's not going to show us the wrong ways. God's not going to lie to us. God's not going to deceive us. That's what the devil does. So we need to be honest with ourselves and be honest with God. Be honest with God. I want to look at Psalm 139 through 1. It's not far. Psalm 139. This is going to be 1 through 6. Psalm 139, 1 through 6. It says, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it. So what's happening here in Psalm 139, 1 through 6? So we understand God's not going to lie to us. So why should I be honest with God? Well, God's honest with us. God's honest with us. But also, because God knows everything. God knows all things. That's another reason we ought to be honest with God, is because God knows all things. You think you can lie and get away with it. In this world, you may. In this world, you can get away with a lie. Maybe. But with God, you're not. And a lie is an abomination to the Lord. We've just seen that in Proverbs. Proverbs 12:22. And a lie is an abomination to the Lord. So be honest with God. Why? Because God can see everything in your heart. He knows the heart. God knows whether you're going to come to Him with all honesty. God says, I know if you're going to be honest and if you're not going to be honest. Are you going to come to me with honesty and really pour out the truth that you need to pour out and get right with me? Or are you going to try to hold something back? Are you going to try to say, no, it's not that important. I'm fine. I'll walk in my own way in that. Maybe we have a sin that we don't want to confess. Maybe we have a sin that eats us up a little bit. We don't want to let go because maybe we enjoy it. God's saying right here, I know your heart. I know everything about you. Get honest with me and get right with me, because you're not going to be walking in the Spirit unless you take care of sin. You got to take care of that sin, and I know your sin. I know what you deal with because I am God. I know all things. He says, I am the great I am, and He proves that. I am the great I am. And it's so high, we cannot understand. We cannot understand the fact that God knows all things. We can't attain it, as it says in verse 6. It is high, I cannot attain it. That's what David's saying. I can't understand how God knows all things, but He does. He knows all things. He knows everything about me. That's what David's saying. I can't get away with nothing because God knows everything. And he proves that. David couldn't get away with anything. God knew it right off the bat. And we've seen that in Nathan. Nathan says, get right with the Lord, David. I'm pointing at you. And so understand, we ought to be honest with God, because why? Well, God does not lie to us, so don't lie to God. Don't lie to God. And God knows all things anyway. So don't think you're going to get away with it. Don't think you're going to get away with not being honest to the Lord. So one, be honest with yourself, be honest with God. And I want to look at one more reason why we should be honest with God. Why should we? Because He's our Father. He's our Father. Now I think of my dad. I used him last time in a sermon in Coderville, but I think of my dad. It would be hard for me to stand in front of my dad and lie to him to his face. It eats us up a little bit. Have you ever done that to someone? You lied right in front of their face? It eats you up a little bit. Why? Because you know what's wrong. You know lying's wrong. I think of that when my dad. I don't want to lie straight in my dad's face. It breaks my heart to think that I would do that. And sometimes I believe in my life I have. In fact, I know I have. But I've lied in front of his face. But this is saying, this is our Father. This is God Almighty. He's our Father and He loves us, church. Why would we want to lie to our Father? Why would we want to not be honest with our Father? And I want to look at Romans 8:15, and it just says, Abba, Father. It says, you are not, it says, get, you know, I'm your Father. It says, Abba, Father, in Romans 8:15. That Abba, if you look deeper into that, that just literally means Papa. It means Papa, Dad. It's just a deeper understanding of the Lord saying, I'm your Father. I'm your Papa. I'm your Dad. You can literally look at me like that. You can look at me as your Papa and your Dad. I think of my relationship with my dad. We're close. Same thing with God. If you're his child, 1 John 3, if you're a child of God, you can look at 1 John 3, verse 1. It says, of children of God. That's what we are literally titled as, children of God. As a child of God, we can call Him Abba, Father, Papa, Dad. So just understand that God's our Father. God's our Father, and He loves us. He proves that. He loves us. And we are to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. I'm your dad. Just get right with me. I want to fix the things that's going on. God doesn't want us to just be honest with Him and Him say, okay, you're fine. You'll be fine. I'm not going to take care of it. You'll get fine with it. Just deal with it. God says, no, get honest with me. because I'm your Father, and I'll take care of the situations going on. I'll take care of the situations, and we can trust in our Father. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That's what our Father wants to do, church. But He can't do that unless you're going to get honest with Him. He ain't going to do that. He don't want to deal with, okay, God, or Isaac, you're going to live your own way. I'm just going to walk in my flesh and do my own thing. No, God says, I want to guide and direct your paths. Trust in me. I'm your Father. Trust in me. I'll take care of you. You can put your faith in me. You can trust in me. I'm your Father, and I will guide and direct your paths. And He proves this. God has sent His Son for us. He proves His love for us. He proves that He's our Father. Why? Because He sent His Son for us. He says, I've done so much for you that I even sent my own Son. I want you. I want you to be my child. I want to guide and direct your ways. I want you to trust in me. I'm not going to lie to you as my child. Now, my dad wouldn't lie to me, I wouldn't think. I think it would break my dad's heart if he looked at his child and said, I'm going to lie to him. He wouldn't do that. He's going to be honest with me. That's what God wants to do with His children. He's not going to lie to us. He says, trust in me. I love you. I love you. You're my children. So be honest with God. Why? Because God will never lie to us. God knows all things, so you're not going to get away with it. And He's our Father. Why would we want to break our Father's heart? Why do we want to do that? It says, just get right with Him. Get right with the Lord. Be honest with God. Be honest with God. So we see, be honest with ourselves. Number one, be honest with ourselves, and be honest with God. They go hand in hand. Because the moment you get honest with yourself, you should be getting honest with God. It goes hand in hand. They build off of each other. So we look at honesty in our lives. We look at our character. It should be in our character. Be honest with ourselves and be honest with God. Lastly here, number three, be honest with others. Be honest with others. Now this goes for everyone. This goes for everyone. This goes for the entirety of the world. Be honest with others. We should not lie to anyone. Again, this is just calling out the character of man. Man wants to lie. Man wants to deceive. It's in our character. It's in our nature. Like I said, as children, we say little white lies. We lie to our parents. We lie. It's in our nature. But as children of God, made righteous, made new, you're a new creation, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. You're a new creation. And as that new creation, you're going to be honest. And you're going to be honest to others. You should never lie to someone. You should never lie to someone, and I don't care the circumstance. Because what's it say? Lying is an abomination. That right there takes every circumstance away. Every circumstance of lying, it takes it away. If lying is an abomination, there is no reason anyone should lie about anything. It should never be a part of anything. Never. So I want to look at Zechariah 8:16. That's just left of Matthew. It's in the Old Testament. Zechariah 8:16. And it's just something that builds on, you should be truthful to others. And it says, these are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Now that almost sounds like Exodus 20:16, where it speaks of the Ten Commandments. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's almost saying the same thing. Be truthful to your neighbor. Be truthful to your neighbor. And as your neighbor, that's everyone in this world. It's not just speaking to your neighbor right across from you, wherever you live. It's not just talking about that neighbor. It's talking about everyone in the world. It's talking about everyone. Be truthful with your neighbor. Be truthful with your neighbor. So let's look at, why don't we want to deceive others? Why should we? Why should we be honest with someone? Why should we not tell them lies? Why should we be truthful? Well, let's look at Romans 13, 8 and 10. Again, I'm going to have you bouncing around a little bit, but Romans 13, 8 through 10. I want to look at one reason why we should be honest with someone. Romans 13, 8 through 10, and it says, love never fails. Or I'm sorry, I'm 1 Corinthians. Let me scoot back here. Romans 13, 8 through 10. It says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. There it is. You shall not lie. That's what that's saying. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up with this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor. So what did it just say? Be truthful to your neighbor. Why would you want to be truthful? Well, one, it says because you should love your neighbor. You should love your neighbor. Lying to someone is not loving them. Lying to someone is giving them a false hope. Lying to someone is deceiving someone. That's what the devil does, church. We just seen that. That's what the devil does. He lies to us. We see it in this world day by day. It's hard to go out there and look and find people that love one another. What's going on? Look at our college campuses, church. Is there love going on there? Absolutely not. That's hatred. That's hatred. That's the devil. That's lying. They have been deceived, church. The devil is doing the work of lying. He's doing the work. He's busy. We need to be busy telling the truth. We need to be busy loving our neighbors, going to them and saying, hey, this is the truth. Let me tell you the truth, because what you're getting told is not the truth. And unfortunately, our teachers in colleges and now even in high schools and middle schools, they're telling people lies. They're telling children lies. They're making them believe in lies. They're literally indoctrinating that into their head, and God's giving them up. What's God doing to this nation? He's saying, none of you want to turn to me. None of you want to come to the truth. None of you want to acknowledge me as God. Well, then fine. I'll make you delusional. I'll make you give to those lies. And we're seeing that, church. Look at our college campuses. They are a mess right now, a complete mess. It is sad what's going on. They think Hamas, a terrorist group, church, a terrorist group is going to love them. They think they're the good ones. A terrorist group who kills people. Who kills people and who hates others. Who hates. It's the exact opposite of love. They hate. And these college students believe that's the way that it ought to be. They believe Hamas is the best. And now Israel's not so great either. Let me get honest with that. Israel's not so great right now. They don't believe Jesus is the way. They're living in their sin. And they're falling to that condemnation. We see that. They're falling into that. But one day, Jesus is going to reveal that. He's coming back for them. But understand, that's what's going on. So we need to understand that lying is going on. Lying is everywhere. And the devil's going after it. He's wild. He's a lion seeking who he may devour, it says. That's in 1 Peter. Seeking whom he may devour. How does he devour people? In lies. In lies. So here, God says the opposite. God says the opposite. Trust or tell your neighbor the truth. Tell your neighbor the truth. And love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. So that's one reason why we should be honest with someone, is because we should love them, church. We should love them. And we also, we want to tell them the truth because this is the truth. And we have a calling. We have a calling, church, to literally go out and tell the truth. Literally, a calling. And that's in Matthew 28:18-20. I'll just go there and read that because I want to show you this, that way you know this is a calling to everyone. It's not a calling for a preacher. It's not a calling for a deacon. It's a calling for everyone. And it says in Matthew 28:18-20, right at the very end of Matthew, it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. There's our calling, church. Our calling to go out and tell the truth. Again, the devil's busy. He's got this world wrapped up in lies. Where are we at? Are we fighting back? I'm sorry to say, but I don't believe a lot of the churches are fighting back. We ought to go on outreach. Where's outreach? We have that going on now. Pastor Tim's got that where we go on outreach every once in a while. It's a blessing to do it. It really is. It's a blessing to do it. Why? Because we get to go tell others about the truth. We get to go tell others about the truth. We ought to be going on outreach. We ought to be going to tell others the truth. Why? Because we have a commandment to go do it. And do we not love others? Do we want to see everybody perish in lies? I mean, it's hard to look at America and say, boy, this is how I want America to fall. I want America to fall in lies. I want America to be perishing. I want America to be destroyed. Should we want that? No, we should love our country. We should love others in our country, and we should want them to turn to God because they're trying to turn away. Let's go to them. Let's find them And they're everywhere. They're driving by right now this morning. They're driving by. It's not hard to find someone who needs the truth, church. They're all over the place. And this goes for me, too. I'm not trying to get mad at you guys. I'm not trying to tell you this, but it's for me, too. It's been a humbling experience going through this message. It really has, because I've seen where I've not been honest with myself. I've seen where I've not been honest with God. And I've seen where I've not even been honest with others. I have friends that I don't even hardly open up the truth to. I have friends that I'm letting them walk in ways that they shouldn't be walking because I'm scared to open up the truth to them because I'm afraid to lose them. Scared to open up the truth, and yet they need it so bad. Why? Because we have an example that we just asked to be praying over is another young life was lost this past weekend, Friday night or Saturday, I can't remember the night, but a life was lost. A young 19-year-old was just killed in an accident. It's just proof, guys, that we need the truth, and it doesn't matter the age. It does not matter the age. Death comes from us all. Death comes for us all. And it can be too late. It can be too late to get to someone. People need to hear the truth. People need to hear it. And I think of my grandpa who went and almost got punched in the face for it. But he went to the man that needed the truth. And at the end of it, that man said, "Leave your God at home." But you know what? My grandpa was faithful. He told him the truth, and he let God deal with it. Because once we tell the truth, God's going to deal with it. But it's our right to go out and tell the truth. It's what God commands. Go out and tell the truth, and then I will deal with them. I will deal with them. But you go and tell it. You go and tell it. We see the example of Stephen doing it. Stephen wasn't scared to go tell the truth. The apostles weren't scared to go tell the truth. Why is the churches nowadays scared to go tell the truth? Are we seeing that, church? What changed from the early church? What changed? Nothing has changed. We look at the early church and go, wow, they were awesome. They were on fire for the Lord. They done what they were told to do. They went out after it, and they were on fire for it. They wanted to tell everyone about it. They were preaching. Even if they had to flee, they were preaching. It didn't matter. And what did they do? They lost their lives for it. And now we look at the church nowadays, and everybody's comfortable right here. Everybody's comfortable right here. But when the calling goes, nobody goes. Nobody goes. Why? Because we don't think the truth is that important, I guess. I guess we don't think the truth is that important, as I just admitted. I don't think the truth is important enough to tell my friends. And my friends need it, church. They need it. And I know we know someone that needs it. My grandpas need it. And church, we have people that need the truth. The church never changed. We can still be a powerful church. We can still do the church what we're called to do. We can still be like the early church. I think we need to tone it down a little bit. We need to tone it down. We're toning it down, and look what's going on. Look what's going on out in the world. As we're toning down the truth, the lies are getting bigger. The fire is burning hotter, and we're not quenching it with the truth. Church, we need to be out doing the work, and we have outreach to do that. We have outreach, but not even that. We should be doing it in our daily lives. Why? Because we should love others. Everyone we're around, in our work, at home, out in the grocery store, wherever you may be, we should be telling the truth. We should be telling the truth. And God opens doors. There's a reason why God opened doors and allows us in, because He wants us to be speaking the truth to that person. He says, "Hey, go to that person, speak the truth." I have one that eats me up. I had the chance to talk to an electrician about it. Literally, God didn't just open the door. He smacked me in the face with the door. Literally, He smacked me in the face with it, I seem like. But what did I do? I didn't open up. Eats me alive to this day that I didn't open up about it. Because He said, "What has God ever done for me?" He said that in front of five men. "What has God ever done to me?" And there I am sitting there. A man who knows the truth, who's been saved by this truth, who has hope in this truth, and sees a lost world and sees that lost electrician who had the opportunity to tell him the truth and say, "Look what God did for you. Look at what He did. He sent His own Son for you. That's how much He loves you. He sent His Son for you." And He said, "If you put hope in my Son, if you believe in my Son, and you surrender to my Son, you have eternal life. If not, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell in your own deception." I didn't open up about that. I didn't open up in the truth. I should have. I see that because God hit me in the face with the door. He didn't just open it. But I understand, Lord, or understand, church, that we need to be honest with others. Why? Because we should love them. We should love them. And the Word of God is living and powerful. I want you to understand that. It's not going to be all sunshine and rainbows, as we just seen a rainbow last night again. I think of God's glory last night. That was awesome seeing those rainbows. But speaking the truth is not always going to be so great. I talked about my grandpa who said he almost got punched in the face for it. That man was angry to hear the truth. How do you know it's the truth? How do you know I can go to someone and say, okay, well, this is the truth? Why would this be the truth? Well, look what it does to people. Look what it does to people. It proves itself. It proves itself. It's living words. It eats people up because what's it do? It calls out the lies in their life. It calls out the lies. It is the truth. And people are going to hate it. What's God say? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. That's in Hebrews. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but I come to bring the sword. What's the sword? The words. Jesus is the words, was he not? John 1:1. Jesus is the words, and he said, I come to bring the sword. Not peace, but the sword. Why do people need the sword? Because it's the way to salvation. It's the way to salvation. That's what happened to us. That pierced us right in the heart, didn't it? It hurt. It hurt. It was eating me up until I finally surrendered. It was eating me up. Why? Because it was the truth. It was pointing out every lie in my life. It was pointing out everything I had hoped on. Everything that was my rock, it wiped it out from under me. It wiped it out from under me, and it gave me nothing to hope for except for Jesus. It gave me one rock to stand on and one rock that'll never fail because it's the truth, and that's Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone, church, and people need the truth, and they're not going to like it. They may not like it. Not all of them are going to be easy to talk to, but do it anyway. Do it anyway. We have plenty of examples of people being talked to, and they got killed for it. Plenty of it. But do you think they were regretting that? Do you think they regretted being killed for what they were saying? Absolutely not. Why? Because they're in eternity. They're in heaven with Jesus Christ himself. Could you imagine one day we're going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ himself? Is that not a day we look forward to? Do we not want others to be there with us? Well, let's be honest with them, church. Let's be honest with them. Let's get the truth out there. We're supposed to be honest people. It should be in our character. It was in Jesus' character. It was in the men of all the examples we have. It was in their character. Paul was a great example of being honest. He was honest with himself. He said, I have a thorn in my side, and it drives me crazy because I know it's wrong. And he said, Lord, I want you to take care of this thorn. I'm so sick of it. I see what it does, and I hate it. But Jesus said, no, you're going to have that thorn. Why? Because it drives you closer to me. It gets you where you belong. It puts you where you need to be. It puts you on your knees. So Paul, being honest, and he says, what do I do? I don't do the things I'm supposed to. I don't do the things I'm supposed to, but I do the things that I'm not supposed to. That's true in all of our lives. There's so many days I walk out and do the things I'm not supposed to. And I think, like I said, with the electrician, what was I supposed to do? Speak the truth. Speak the truth because God opened it up. What did I do? I didn't do the thing I was supposed to. I didn't do the thing I was supposed to. Paul, a great example of being honest. Being honest with himself. Being honest with us. He shows an example of his life in the scripture. God allowed Paul to write about his life a little bit and explain to us about what was going on in Paul's head at the time that he was walking for the Lord. And we see that. We see honesty in these lives of people. Church, it should eat us up. It should eat us up to see this world the way it is. It should eat us up, the fact that there's people out there with no hope. People out there that don't know what to stand on. They're confused at what they see. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to look to. And then what happens? We're warned about false teachers. False teachers are out preaching. They're out telling lies, saying, hey, you're fine if you just come to this. And then people believe in that because they don't know what to believe on. So they believe the lies. The false teachers are busy doing work. False teachers are everywhere. Again, some of them are the teachers who are teaching the children in our schools. We should be indoctrinating the truth. We should be going out and telling the truth to fight back against those false teachers, to be pointing them out, to be showing them their wickedness and saying, hey, that's not the truth, but this is the truth. This is the truth, and I'll show you why. You know, and our testimony is an example of what the truth does. So don't forget how powerful your testimony is. It is powerful because it's the truth literally happening in you. It's the truth happening in you. So church, this morning, I know it wasn't a super long sermon. I know, but I just want us to understand, one, be honest with yourself, be honest before God, and be honest with others. It's three ways that honesty should work in our lives. It should be in our character. We should be wanting to tell the truth. We should be wanting to be men of integrity, women of integrity. Jesus was a great example of integrity. What he said is what he did. The words that came out of his mouth is what he lived. He said, I live for the Father's will. He did the Father's will. We are called to do the commandments. We are called to go out and be teaching others about the truth. So let's be men and women of integrity, and let's go out and do the truth. We're commanded to do it. It should be in our lives. Let's go do it. Let's go do it. Let's go tell others about the truth. Let's be honest before God. Let's be honest with ourselves and be honest with others. And Grandma, if you want to come, we'll have an invitation, song of invitation. But just think about this morning. Now's our chance to be honest with God. Now's our chance to be honest with ourselves. You have that time to come down here right now and do that. And do that. But again, it goes on in our lives every single day. We should be honest with God every single day. Be honest with ourselves every single day. When I wake up this morning, how am I walking? Am I going to walk in the truth today? Am I going to be walking in the Spirit? Or am I going to be walking in the flesh? Be honest with ourselves. Be honest before God and be honest with the truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As we close this morning, Grandma will play a song of invitation and we'll have that time to come down and be honest. We'll have that time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to be up here, Lord. And Lord, it's a humbling experience to see, Father, this word in my own life, of how, Lord, I fail in this truth. I fail to be honest to others. I fail to be honest with myself, and I fail to be honest to you, Lord. I see it in my own life. And Father, I thank you for this time to be able to preach up here this morning. And Lord, I pray that it would resonate in our hearts and be powerful in our own hearts, and that it would reveal any of false hope, Lord, any lies in our life, that it would reveal it, Lord, and that we could come to you, Father, and surrender to you and get right with you, Lord. And I pray for those who are lost, Lord. I pray that they would see the truth, Lord. I pray that you would reveal that in their lives and reveal the truth to them, Father. Show them the truth. Show them the way. Show them Jesus, Father. Let it pierce their hearts. Let them where they can't run, Lord, but they just surrender. They fall to their knees and surrender, Lord. I thank you for doing that in my own life, Lord. I thank you for bringing me to that point of surrender and just being honest with me, Lord. You didn't lie to me. You showed me my ways, Father. I thank you for that. I pray this morning, Lord, that those who need to come here this morning, that they would just do that. This is the time to do it, Lord. I pray that they would come do that. In Jesus' name, amen.